Hi, Paul Slack, it's Good News Planet, speaking to Willard Manis. Hello, Willard. How are you?
Good, how are you? Nice to hear your voice from New York.
Nice to hear your voice from the Los Angeles area.
Yes, Beverly Hills, right?
There you go. So my voice is frozen and your voice is warm?
Very warm right now, yes, extremely.
Willard, you are a novelist, playwright, and a journalist. We have a lot to talk about because I was involved with Marlena, the play with Cindy Marion and Angel, one of the producers. And boy, did you write a beautiful play. And I want to thank you straight up, right? One, two, three. Every word, it really, really, I'll tell you, had the audience from tears to laughter to standing ovation. She does a great job with it. Magnus, she is Marlena.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wrote the show for her, and of course she came through beautifully. So I'm delighted that it worked for you and the audience in New York. And of course, I appreciate your interest and support.
Well, it's a big honor. We want to take it further on, and we will, because she's a star. She's going to win a Tony, and so are you, because there's no reason for it not to be. The story is important. The woman was important. Marlena was, from the raising the money for the country to her strong character. And
yes.
So how do you write a play like that? How do you, I mean, you know, this is an icon. Well, where do you sit? Where do you start? How do you do something?
Well, the actual start of it goes back maybe 25 years. A woman moved next door to us here in Beverly Hills in an apartment. She was a star Croatian actress, okay? Thing about her was she looked very, very much like Marlena Dietrich. And it's just simply occurred to me, hey, why don't I write a show for her? She could sing, too. Xenia was her first name. But I didn't think of the play as something deeply serious at that time. I thought of it more or less as a cabaret act. There'd be some things she'd talk about her life, but mostly she'd be singing some of her songs. It didn't work out in the end. We never got it on, and she ended up going back to Croatia. And the script sat on my desk for a long, long, long time, those many years, until I had a play on called Berlin Cowboys. And that's where I met Cindy and cast her as the madam of a brothel in Berlin. This is a wartime story based on truth. When Berlin, before the wall, was just a divided city, you know, between the Russians, French, English, and so on. The American CIA office there dug a tunnel under the lines into the Russian zone and tapped into the Russian telex and telephone cables. So they were trying to listen in on all the communication between East Berlin and Moscow. And so my play, Berlin Cowboys, had the role of a German madam of a brothel in Berlin. Cindy was cast in that, and I got to know her. She said she could sing, so we had her sing a Marlena Dietrich song, and she did it so well, I suddenly thought of the play that I had written and that I should revisit it and write it for her. But that's when I really got serious about the project and start doing some deeper research. Also, a new big book had come out written by Dietrich's daughter, which had a lot of inside information. Anyway, that second draft of that play is the one that Cindy brought to life here in Los Angeles first and now in New York.
Oh, God. Well, we thank you for having a next-door neighbor that looked like Marlena. to write. What is it that inspires you to be? Why are you a writer?
I don't know. I always read
a
when
prolific,
I was a kid.
Excuse me, one second. A prolific writer.
I've written a lot too. I'm not good, but I am prolific. I wrote in high school, and I wrote in college. There weren't any really good writing courses. The only writing course at the small school I went to, Adelphi College, on a football scholarship, by the way, was radio writing. But I don't know, there was something in me that, you know, made me want to write, and I got serious about it when I left college, and I started freelancing. And then I met my wife, who is Scottish. We met in the late 50s. She came to New York to work for the Theater Guild, if you remember that organization.
Right.
We decided to get married, and I had to go meet my in-laws in Scotland. And before we left New York, a Greek-American friend, a painter, I still remember his name, Peter Panos, said, hey, you're going to Europe, you got to go to Greece. I had never even thought of it, really, never. But we said, what the hell, we'll do it. So we got on the old Simplon Orient Express out of Paris, 4 days down to Athens, met a Greek there who said, ah, you're a writer, you have no money, you need inspiration, you can't stay in Athens, you have to go to the islands. And he sent us to the island of Rhodes and a village called Lindos, and we were there on our honeymoon, we thought for 3 days, and ended up staying 30 years.
Oh my God. I've been over there, and I can see how, to a certain degree, that could be, especially if you're with a loved one, how that could be heavenly.
It was a special experience. It was tough at first. I mean, we had a house for $12 a month, 6-7 rooms with an interior courtyard and all that, but no running water or electricity in those days, and for 2 or 3 years we lived that way. But anyway, it just occurred to me, if that we moved in there, I could write full-time, and we could make a living even if I just scratched out $3,000-$4,000 a year, which is what I could do at that time. And gradually over the years, I learned how to survive as a freelance writer, mostly writing travel articles. I became the Mediterranean correspondent for the Financial Post of Canada and covered pretty much the entire Mediterranean for them. And I was still writing fiction. And so that's why, how we survived for 30 years. We actually bought a house there and had a whole other life, which, you know, came to an end.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're not hurting in Beverly Hills.
No, we're okay. But again, you know, we still live pretty simply. And thanks to rent control, we're able to make it. I certainly am not making a living out of writing plays. Can't really do that. But I don't have to. I mean, we have enough money coming in from one place or another, including Social Security, to survive. And it gives me freedom. So if I want to write a play, I do, and I hope to get it on. Certainly, I haven't been able to get everything on that I've written. I would say I've written maybe 40 or 50 plays, and about half of them have been done.
Oh, boy, what a list of that. And you have a novel, too, right, Matt?
I've written fiction, I've published about, I don't know, something like 14 or 15 books. Some of them are nonfiction. One of them is a memoir of our time in that Greek island village called This Way to Paradise, Dancing on the Tables. And that's still available at Amazon. But, I really began as a fiction writer. I never envisioned becoming a playwright, but I never envisioned becoming a travel writer either, which is what I did when we ended up in Greece. But I did that for a number of years and did other freelancing as well. And that's how we managed to make it. But when I came here, I decided, hey, here's a chance to, you know, I was still writing fiction and still working as a journalist, but I could now meet people in the theater and I'd have a chance to get some plays on. So, you know, that turned me on to it.
What interest did you have? I've been a fortunate guy. I did 3 shows with a gentleman named Frank Sinatra in my life. Big AFI salutes to James Cagney, to Orson Welles, and then he opened up for Benny Goodman here in New York when we opened up the Marriott Hotel in Times Square. Frank Sinatra and Ava Gardner.
Yeah, that's one of my plays. And the nice story about it is, the guy who played Sinatra in it, Rico Simonini is also one of the top cardiologists in Los Angeles. He's attached to Cedars-Sinai. He was in that Berlin Cowboys play that Cindy was in. So that's where I knew him from. And when I got to know him, I realized, hey, this guy can play Sinatra. So I wrote a play for him, and we cast a local actress that I knew, Stephanie Northcutt, and we were successful with it. And Rico was so excited by it that he felt it should become a movie. So he has spent a big part of the last 2 or 3 years putting this movie together. He stars in it as Sinatra, but a different actress plays Ava Gardner. And, you know, we're still trying to get it sold to a, you know, a real distribution outfit. Maybe it will end up VOD, you know, production on TV or whatever, or the internet. But anyway, Rico put it all together. He raised the money. Some of it he raised, believe it or not, shooting craps in Las Vegas. He's one of the few non-professional gamblers I've ever met who actually wins pretty regularly in Las Vegas.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Hey, from Queens, who worked his way through medical school completely on his own, working in a pizza parlor. And, you know, half of him would like to be a mafia guy. But anyway, he's got some friends who are eye rollers, and they're flown out to Vegas free on a plane. They send a plane for him and put him up in a hotel. And Rico, you know, tails along with them, and that's how he gets to Vegas, and that's how he financed a lot of the film. Not all of it, but a lot. Winning money in goddamn Las Vegas.
You tell a story just like you write a book, I got a feeling. You know, you're just one descriptive guy.
And I also wrote another play for him, and he played Joe DiMaggio. And it was about DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe. And
we
had a success with that as well. But also, the great thing about having him in a play of yours, all his patients come from Cedars-Sinai, so you can pretty much fill these small theaters almost every night.
Well,
if anybody has a heart attack, you know, he just would step off the stage and take care of it.
Oh, my God. Well, Cindy's a great dancer, so she can teach people how to dance as well. Well, you know, a lot of good stuff going on. You know, I really want to take a little time with you. I could take probably a week with you. You're a very entertaining, interesting gentleman.
I'd love to meet you in person someday.
We'll make that happen sometime. And when we get Marlena in a bigger show and a continuous show, that's what shows need. They need a steady location. They need a steady audience.
Put up on its feet so that people really help it, can see it, and so forth. It's so important just to keep it up somehow, somewhere.
Right. It's word of mouth, then.
Yeah.
You know, that's the most powerful tool, bigger than social network, and then social network, you know, whatever the social network.
Whatever.
If people
says,
I went to a show, I liked it, and they trust that person, they go.
Yeah. Right. Of course. Course.
It's all good. Well, you're a gentleman. Thank you so much for taking some time.
Thank you. And again, I really thank you for your interest and your support. It means a lot to me, okay?
Let me ask you two last questions because we're very involved with these areas as well. I think I mentioned to you before we started recording. One was we're into the International Day of Peace, September 21st, World Peace Day, and as 193 countries agreed. And so I've asked lots of people, what does peace mean to them? If you wouldn't mind to share, Willard Manis, what does peace mean to you?
What does peace mean to me? I guess it means equality and democracy. Of course, the absence of war, that's so obvious. But democracy is the key thing where people feel self-worth and respect one another. That's peace to me. I don't think we'll ever achieve it, but it's a nice hope and dream.
Last question. Democracy, they say, came out of that place called Greece, or Hellas.
Yeah.
is that location there, right?
Yeah.
Last question. We have a channel for love. I might ask people, what is love?
What is
love for you? Yes.
What is love? Well, these are some questions, man. Love, I guess, is acceptance, mm-hmm. and live and let live is
right.
love. I think the respect is attached to love. Without respect, the love doesn't work. And, of course, there's got to be some chemistry if you're actually living with the person you love. But I think respect for another human being is the equivalent of love.
Lord, you're a great man. I really appreciate this time with us, and look forward to working with this and Project
hey.
Marlena and others. And
hey, and when you see Cindy, give her a hug for me, okay?
Oh, I sure will.
All righty.
Thank you
Thanks.
So much. Thank you. Bye-bye.